Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. Or is it really the Dom and Colin podcast? TJ might own it for all I know. I'm not sure. It turns out he owns a lot more things in life than it would appear. So we are back here, of course, today to talk about the latest episode of The Challenge 38, The Challenge Ride or Dies. I am one of your hosts, Matt Liguori, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm good. I'm putting my dogs in the air. You know, I am here to talk about another episode of The Challenge. I think probably worth mentioning that we are recording right after the episodes, so fresh takes only. Curious to see how you felt about it and, you know, talk about, let's not bury the lead, the end of the twist.
We could bury the lead.
Okay, we'll get there eventually.
I don't know what else we can talk about, but
up front.
Certainly worth noting that we're recording this at a different time than usual because, emotions are still fresh and raw coming out of the episode. But it's different when you have, like, the day to process everything and then listen to the interviews and hear, you know, what people have to say about it. Like, who even is going to get interviewed? Jordan, like, on the official Challenge podcast?
Could make sense, especially with maybe my prediction of, like, the beginning of next episode. But I think that Jordan is a likely candidate.
Well, we'll see. But we don't have all that context and not much to report on outside of the episode because we've only watched the episode. It's only been over for less than a half hour at this point. But this episode decided to did they combine two episodes or were they always planning to do this in the last half hour of this one? I mean, I hope that they were always planning this because there was nothing like if they tried to make the, you know, Jordan elimination the full 90 minutes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty brutal. I think that this probably was always planned because, like, where else would this have gone? I think that it wasn't so much as like, oh, they got lucky that it was a slow week. Like, they really could have filled this in on any of the last 5 weeks and we would have been fine.
Truly.
There was room. Like, we're cutting Drag Race down to an hour. Like, maybe The Challenge should look at that.
They do sometimes towards the end of the season. Like, I remember probably last season, like one or two episodes that were an hour. And I don't know if that was for, you know, any specific reason or I don't know. But sometimes. Maybe.
Yeah. I just think, like, maybe more.
Maybe more.
Maybe
certainly
more.
Wouldn't hurt. But this episode had, like, for me, like, some shockers and some, you know, just I don't think I would have ever expected exactly the, you know, the way that they ended up doing things when they're going to, you know, bring everybody back in at the end. These three teams that are going to be competing for their spots back in and the way that that was even the way that they're going about it. Like, none of this was on my radar. I figured, and I think probably the sentiment is shared with most of us. You tell me if you feel differently, but, like, it seemed like they were just going to come right back in and we were going to reset. And it was like, okay, yeah, 6 weeks have gone by and one team has gone home. As TJ pointed out, Nelson and Darice are gone and everybody else is back in, but they are doing it a little bit differently now. And I don't know. Do we just jump right into that or what are you feeling?
I'm fine with it, but I don't know. It's like, okay, we set the bar, like, literally in hell, and they, like, I don't know, we're at a negative 100 instead of 101, so, like, sure. It's just, like, my expectations were so low that when it's announced that everyone's, like, not automatically getting back into the game, and, like, we only wasted, like, a couple of weeks of your time, and it's like, okay, like, sure.
It was truly such a roller coaster ride, though, with this episode, because it started, like, or as we were going, so, first of all, I just really had it in my head that Chauncey was going to go home because it just felt like his time. It felt like the other team wouldn't even care if they lost. And then we saw him doing horribly in the challenge. But you know what should have been a clue to me when nobody was like, well, you know, it's a guy's day and Chauncey's going to be in trouble or whatever. Like, nobody was even discussing that. Like, TJ was, like, you know, shaming him for not going out there and doing the challenge. And then it was like, all right, that's it. And he even, like, goes in at the end and congratulates everybody on a job well done. I'm like, there's no attention on this guy. So obviously, well, at that point, obviously we knew that they had won, but, I don't know. I thought that that was going to happen. And then next thing, you know, we get to a lot of Horacio content. I'm thinking that he's going to go home and then we get to the elimination and it's back and forth way more than I expected it to be. And then Jordan goes home in a shock there. And then just everything that kept playing out. And then when they got to, I'm really just doing the whole wrap up right now. We could just end the podcast after,
please,
you know, 5 minutes if we want to call this a quick one. But, and then when they get to like the shocked reactions of like, oh, we're back in our pairs. You guys are going home just because you don't have your ride or die. 'Cause that makes a lot of sense. And then to find out what's actually happening. So it really, I mean, this episode was boring for the first 45 minutes, and then I was paying attention a lot more of the rest.
I was still a little bored, especially when I thought it was like, all right, we did an uneven number of like male and female eliminations. Like, okay, so this week was just like a waste. Like this entire week was a waste. Especially like from that point where it was like only Fessel could have gone home. Like I just was so frustrated. I don't know. I started paying attention like very late into the episode, but even then it felt like a foregone conclusion once I saw the challenge was. So this was not the most exciting for me.
Well, I guess we'll go back in from the top and work our way down and kind of let it all play out naturally there, because again, it really was quite the ride. And the beginning of it was so slow. I had texted you about halfway through and I was like, wow, we really still have more than half the episode to go, which was just felt insane because it will, you know, didn't exactly know what was coming after that. You had to know something was coming, but I don't know. So
yeah, when you texted me like we still have 50 minutes to go, I had not looked at the clock and was like, it already feels like it's dragging. That was scary, but you know, I don't know. It's the same formula as all the other weeks. I really like insert like some content about who's going home usually. And so I really thought that that was Horacio here, where he is like bringing roses to Olivia for her birthday. And oh, he just wants to make the final so badly. And if Olivia can't make the final, she wants him to. I was like, all right, nice knowing you. But bye.
Right. 'Cause I was like, I can see a world where, wait, did I lose my train of thought? Yep, I did. Let's just keep going.
You.
You know, like I had like the sentence going and then I snapped back into. Yeah, no, we're going to pretend that didn't happen. So where do we start? Where do we go? Literally the top.
I don't know. Where do you want to go?
Literally the top. Suzanne okay. Collins coming back into the house. I got a couple of positive reactions on that one.
There we go.
I certainly will try not to, you know, run that into the ground, Sophia Banana style, but I can't make any promises.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just so standard at the beginning of the episode. Oh, we're sad this person left. Oh, the teams are still checking in. We still want to win. We still want to win. Oh, we lost our team captain. Let's raise a glass. Like, you know, they raised their dogs. The underdogs were raised in the air. So it just really felt like we were going along the same lines and it just, you know, like snooze fest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess my radar should have been like up where Bananas is like, everyone's trying to figure out what the next twist is going to be. But I was like, okay, that means next week it's going to end, because obviously we wouldn't have an uneven number of male and female eliminations, but it's the challenge. So yeah. I don't know. Other than that, I feel like the only real other like pre-challenge thing for me, at least, is another Tori and Anissa scene.
Oh, you weren't excited about Olivia's birthday, your girl?
I basically brought it up where like this was what I thought was like Horacio boot content.
Yeah, exactly. So how old do you think she is? Like 20? She's probably not like a baby. Like, I'm not that actually concerned, but
I don't care, frankly, but I would guess 29.
Also, she does like total. I mean, I know that like, why would she get this content now that he's gone? But like, she does not seem like she misses Nelson.
No.
She seems fine. She's like, yeah. I got Horacio. That's all I need.
Doesn't seem like, you know, they're missing each other too much on the outside either.
No. Certainly not. So yeah, the scene with Tori and Anissa and Jordan, it's like, maybe that's what I was going to say. The train of thought comes back to me a little bit. I wouldn't have been surprised if they spent the entire episode, you know, if it was the full 90 minutes on the Jordan elimination, like stretching out the Tori and Jordan of it all again, because they've been doing it and why wouldn't they keep doing it? So they started this episode doing it again with more of it. And Anissa, yet again, I'm sick of it. Everybody else must be sick of it. Yeah, we're all sick of it. We're all sick of it. But it's still happening.
How would you feel if you saw your friend on national television being like, oh my God, my friend is so fucking annoying?
I would get it, especially if I were Tori, Deal, or Jordan Wisely.
like, ugh, my best friend just needs to talk to me. It's so annoying.
No, she, I get it, but like, no. This is just gotta be, like the rookies are like not gonna come back, not because they don't get asked next season, because they're gonna be like, I don't want to do this filming with Tori and Jordan again because this was just torture.
Oh, my best friend is having one of the hardest moments in her life and needs to lean on me. Ugh. Like, okay, Anissa. I don't know. I just think it's weird. Like, why is she the constant person we go to about this? I feel like we could hear like anyone else's thoughts, and maybe it wouldn't come off as so brutal.
Also, like, what other storyline does Anissa have
I
in
mean,
the Challenge 38 Ride or Dies? Like, at
it's just
all.
occasional shady content.
Like,
That's it.
yeah, it's really, that's it. I mean, Nani has, a personal story going on and wanting to get the win. Like, Anissa at this point isn't even getting like, I want to finally get my win. Like, so there's no delusions there. It's just her spot in between this, formerly engaged couple, and she's trying to maintain the peace.
Yeah. I mean, that's all she can do.
Yeah, she
I don't
made.
know. I wonder how like Anissa and the partner that she was supposed to have would have been on this season, because like maybe like I don't know, does her partner have a storyline and she gets to comment on that, because her and Jordan is just like an absolute nothing.
I don't know.
They don't even pretend to show them on the show together anymore.
I
It's
know.
just like, oh, like I'm proud of Jordan, he's really grown. She's like, that's all she gets, or she's mad at them for complaining so much. There's no actual content between the two of them.
Yeah, she's like very often a narrator on challenge seasons, of just like somebody who's there to like, be a good confessionalist, but like her narration this season hasn't been about anything but that couple, so, or former couple, so
Like, unfortunately, like, I like Anissa fine. She can do the podcast, but like, there are other narrators. Like, you can find someone else who can like do both.
I mean, look around. Who do you who are you looking for here?
A rookie.
Okay, Olivia.
A different rookie.
Okay, Horacio's a little being a sad
No,
boy
not on
to
this season. Like,
okay.
go outside the box. Not one of these people.
Bring Jemmy back. No?
Sure. I don't know.
She always
There
stands
is
out as my favorite in that role.
I could pick some other people.
Okay.
Davon.
Well, duh.
No,
Somebody
he's
who's like
locked
not going to
into
be
Janet.
miserable, and I don't want to see them miserable while they're there.
Yeah, there you
But wait, there was what did I listen to? There was a clip going around of Josh at a Challenge Mania event where he had said, I don't know if you saw or heard this, that his original partner, because obviously he was an alternate on the season, his partner was supposed to be potentially Davon, but then she backed out like a day or two before.
I did hear that. Yep, a lot of people thought that's ultimately why a different Big Brother player was dropped from the cast, but no, seems like Josh and Davon may actually have been a possible casting choice this season.
She's answering the calls. She's just not going.
She's kind of like floated it on the podcast, and I don't know if that's just like, huh, you're still paying me, I have to pretend like it wasn't the most miserable experience of my life,
Yeah.
or like what the deal is there. I would say I am more optimistic about seeing her, whether it be on the regular Challenge or on Challenge USA,
USA,
than
maybe.
I have been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen Devon on one of the shows and said like, this is the last time we're going to see her. Like, it's never felt like, she's actually going to be done, even though every time she's like, this is it, this is my last show. I've never actually, felt it. So it's just always a cycle of waiting for the next one to, when she's comfortable and ready. So she'll be
Well,
back.
because usually when we're recognizing like, oh, this is their last time, it's because the show is done with them, not that they're done with the show.
Right. So, okay. Well, I have a note here that says, is this episode playing on 0.75x? It was going so slow.
Yeah, generous.
Really. So we get to the challenge. It is a heights challenge called It Takes Two to Tango. And the highlight here, as far as anybody not doing well, is going to be Chauncey, who is terrified and is not able to complete the challenge.
Yeah, but
The whole premise of the challenge is that if you don't successfully get around, the edge of this, platform and turn around your partner and get to the other side and get done in 10 minutes, you're supposed to be flung off, and nobody got flung off.
well, it's also like, Chauncey, we're not even gonna make you jump. It's like, yeah, you're gonna fling him, because you think him and Anissa are like putting up the best time of the day. When they told me that, like, whichever team has the best time, then, like, they carry their entire team to victory. It's like, if I'm Chauncey, I'm quitting too. I'm not doing this with Anissa. Like, funny joke that you think we have the best chance.
I know. And then Anissa being like, well, if he can't show up for himself, how are you going to show up for him? I'm like, yeah, it's, I mean, like, granted, he's the one that quit, but, like, Anissa, that's rich. Come on.
I think if this was like a Chauncey and Amber pairing, like in a duos challenge, then I think he probably does it.
No, he was, terrified.
I think he does it. I think that Amber talks to him. I think he calms down. I think like Amber is not your support system. I mean, Anissa's not your support system here.
No, not unless your name is Tori or Jordan.
Nope.
And even then.
And barely then. She doesn't want to be.
She really doesn't. So, they're all in pairs. And if they did not make it in 10 minutes, they would have gotten flung off. But everybody made it in that time frame. The pairs that went were Tori and Fessy, Anissa and Chauncey, who did not successfully go, Jordan and Nani. And then Livin' La Vida Loca starts playing as we get to see Amber and Devin, Olivia and Bananas, Nani and Horacio. Nani goes again, and then Fessy goes again with Casey. I don't know. Any of these runs particularly stand out? I'll throw Nani out there.
No, even that. Like, I'm bored. I don't know. It's like, oh, we know that watching a bunch of heats is really boring. So what if we do a bunch of heats on a challenge where they have to go incredibly slow? Like, I am painfully bored watching this. I don't know how they thought this would be interesting to watch. I don't care if it takes skill or anything. It's like super boring.
Yeah. I mean, the Nani stuff was just, you know, I was kind of buying into it of like she's got a fire lit under her since she came back, and like, I don't know, I mean, it's not like it was much, but it was keeping me paying attention. I don't know, there really wasn't, you know, a whole lot going on. Ricky Martin coming in to, you know, sing some song, not him himself, you know, for anybody who's not watching,
he made an appearance. He could have, and like, I did honestly tune out of this challenge hard enough that like, if you told me, you might have been able to convince me
that he was there. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he made a live appearance. I'd be like, wow, what is he promoting?
I mean, still would be number two as far as guest stars this season behind Roxanne Lavin, but
that is fair,
you know. Yeah, I just could not believe nobody fell. That was insane. Like, don't advertise to me that somebody can get flung off of this if nobody's going to.
Mm-hmm.
So, the winners end up being Fessel and Casey, and again, guys, elimination day. So Jordan, Devin, and Horacio are going to be the three that get interrogated and are in trouble. And I don't know, what are you thinking at this point?
I'm thinking about the challenge that it probably should have been, an average of how long each team, like pair on their teams, took. I'm thinking that it seems weird that they're forced to stand up on this little like dot at the same time, but then can like balance themselves by stepping back on the beam. So like, I guess you don't have to be stepping on the dot at the same time. And I'm thinking that like, okay, we're probably getting Horacio going home.
Yep. I wasn't thinking any of those things about the challenge because I don't care in the most loving way possible. I was just upset nobody was getting flung, and that's really all that I can contribute to the challenge discussion. But I agree, I also thought Horacio was going home.
Yeah, but I don't know, it just seemed like pretty inevitable. It seemed like we were getting Jordan Horacio, so I just didn't feel like there was any chance of Devin going home, and I didn't think he was going to be putting on such a dominant performance that we needed like no Devin storyline at all, even as a fake out. So I felt pretty confident that we were actually getting the elimination that most people have wanted to see for a little bit in Jordan and Horacio.
I think the biggest blindside of the episode is that Devin was saved by, you know, social game, by Bananas and Bananas himself, and all of these people being like, you know, of course Devin's not going to be the one that we're voting in, and Devin didn't get a single bit of, you know, confessional giving himself credit for it, like where like he does every other episode. That was
Sure, like Devin would give himself credit for it, but like how much is social game and how much is like you've just been on the challenge for 7 seasons and aren't viewed as a threat as either of these two people?
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, like, sure, they like him, but like I would say that I don't know. I wouldn't really devote any of this to actual social game. Like Jordan.
No, I mean, I do think there's certainly a big aspect to it there. It's like, I think it's all like a perfect storm. It's like I do think that Devin's played a very good social game so far. And I do think the other two guys are just, you know, you want to get them into elimination together.
Jordan has played a good social game, but like I'm not giving you not Jordan. I mean Jordan compared to other seasons, I guess. But like Devin, sure, he is super likable, and like his social game and strategic game was definitely where he shines. Not that he is like exceptionally bad at physical by any means, but like those are two points in which he shines quite a bit. Yeah. But if I'm looking at like, wow, Devin stayed out of this elimination based on his social merit, like, eh. Like, I think that Horacio has played a great social game at this point in the season where he is a giant threat and people still feel bad about throwing him in and don't want to throw him in. So, like, that's impressive to me. But just, like, the notion of someone who's been here for 7 seasons and have known these people for probably 10 years versus someone who's known them for 2.5 weeks. Like, wow, I can't believe his relationship is better than Horacio's. Like, no, duh. Like, obviously it is. Yeah.
Let's talk through the interrogation. As usual, it's really not the most exciting, but it's just going to be more of the Tori versus Jordan of it all. So, like I said, Bananas is kind of pushing for Devin to not be the direct vote, and it seems like the consensus all around is that that's not going to be the case. There's talk about how Fessel's going to be a Jordan vote because of obvious reasons, given how Jordan voted for Fessel, and that was a whole big deal. So when Devin comes in, he's looking around and, you know, cracking jokes. He's like, so who do you think I want to go against, the soccer player or the triathlete with the bad attitude? And everyone's like, ah, you're the funniest man ever. So that's Devin. Horacio is just given, like, you know, 5-year-old coaching from, you know, the big boys of just don't be sad when you lose. It's going to be okay. Like, what was that about? I don't know.
I just, whatever. But like, I don't care.
Then the Jordan of it all is where he comes in and, is Tori going to vote for him? She says she might. She says she wants to. She might consider it, but I don't know. She's a swing vote.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you at any point actually think Tori might vote Jordan?
I think like the only time that I was believing it was during the interrogation. But to me, like, I just can't help, you know, continuously going back in my head and saying, you know, if she wanted to turn on him hardcore by now, she would have, and it would have been made very clear that she was not working with him anymore. But they both have been so consistent in, even despite all their fighting all season long, saying that, like, the game, you know, as far as the game goes, neither of them are ever going to say the other one's name to put them in a position of danger. You know, Jordan has made it very clear that does not count with, you know, what Tori wants, what moves Tori wants to be made. But if Tori is, you know, the one that's in danger, if Jordan's the one that's in danger, they are not going to say each other's name. So, you know, when I do remind myself of that, it's like, no, she's not going to say his name.
I just couldn't see her ever being in the position of actually being a swing vote and going through with it. I get that, like, she's annoyed. I get that she's questioning him. And I think that, like, maybe, like, let's say Devin was like, Tori, I'm telling you, Jordan will take you out. Like, I'm sure that she could be manipulated into doing so, but I didn't see her going on her own volition and deciding to actually throw Jordan in.
No, and I mean, Devin and Jordan are getting along because they're on the same team, so that wouldn't have even happened. And it's again, all the fighting, all this, all that, all of the, I mean, you know, Anissa's sick of it, but it's just, they still have each other's backs.
Devin and Jordan, like, allegedly, but at the same time, when Tori's like, Devin, would Jordan have my back or not? And Devin's like, I don't know, I really can't say. Like, if he had Jordan's back, like, 100% completely, no, I feel like it's...
When it comes down to it right now, like, you know, it's him or me. Of course he's not gonna...
Sure.
You know.
But, I mean, he could be like, okay, don't throw in Jordan, throw in Horacio. Yeah, Tori, Jordan would definitely have your back. You should vote in Horacio. Mm-hmm. That's simple. But he doesn't.
Right. So... What else? So I don't know. It's they got really teary here, teary eyed.
Yeah, there's crying, there's yelling. Like, I don't know. I think basically, I had watched with some people earlier, and it was like, so, who's wrong here? And it was like, honestly, they both are. Like, it just is a matter of, or like, they're both right and they're both wrong. Like, I think that they both, like, take this way too seriously. I think that they both, are telling the same story. It's just that they're mad about different things. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that anyone has, like, misconstrued the situation. I think that Jordan was probably always going to betray this agreement, and Tori was probably never actually going to hold it against him, but, like, did use that, like, as a weapon in the game. And she doesn't see that as, like, a problem, and he doesn't see that he was going to betray, like, Fessel as a problem. So, like, It's a difference of opinion, but yet they are just like very hurt. And so like that's why they're screaming at each other here. Not that like anyone actually is right or is wrong. So they're never going to come to like a real agreement. Mm-hmm. It's just like, are we willing to let go of this or no?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like that whole thing goes from like last week or whatever, like my final thoughts on it are just, which I might not even get even initial thoughts because I'm just sick of talking about these two. it's just that I don't think Tori was saying it. I mean, from my perspective, that she was coming to him saying, you know, our history, our relationship, everything that you and I have been through is on the line today. If you don't vote the way I want you to vote, she was saying that. As a person, as your friend, as your whatever we are to each other, I will feel a certain type of way if you are actively trying to go against decisions that will make, you know, that will help me in the game. So I certainly see where Jordan's coming from, where it's like, well, I have to worry about my own game as well. And you can't just, you can't just say I have to do everything that you want because we have our history. But I also don't think Tori was legitimately saying, you know, it's on the line.
Sure.
Like, so it really is like right in the middle. Both of them interpreted it in their own ways. And it doesn't mean anything anyway, because they both still have each other's back. So, you know, we're just going to get some crying and some more, you know, yelling and screaming and whatever about it. So whatever.
Yeah. I mean, even if Jordan's interpretation is like, not that Tori is going to go full nuclear and cut off the relationship entirely, but like, I will have negative feelings towards you in the outside world, like to some degree because of this, like in any manner, like I still don't think like he is wrong to be annoyed by that. But it is like, I don't know. Again, they're neither is right, neither is wrong. It's just like, how do you personally feel about it? Like for the two of them.
Yeah. Quick side note, because I'm remembering it. Mariah was on the Challenge Mania podcast this past week. Believe it dropped yesterday. Mariah named two individuals in the Challenge House that she did not connect with. She says she connected with everybody else Ooh. In the house at one point or another. And she didn't say it in like a shady way of being like, I did not like these people. She was just like, of everybody in the house, there's two people that stand out that I didn't have like a close connection with. Can you guess who?
Tori.
And?
Anissa.
Yes.
Wow. The two people who are consistently shown as like making absolutely no effort with rookies. Yes. And then like complaining about how no one likes them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed. It's been like three seasons of hearing this from rookies and nothing has changed. I think if I'm Tori, if I'm Anissa, I'm really hoping that the other one is not there for the next season because they really need some work on their reputations.
I don't think that they'll ever hope for that, but I think they should.
They won't, but they should. Exactly.
Yeah. That's the thing is that like it was brought to Tori's attention where it's like she said basically she does not want to form relationships with people and then end up betraying them. She doesn't feel like it's, she feels like it's fake. And so she just doesn't make the relationship in the first place because why bother when I'm just going to vote you out? And like some of these people come back, Tori, and that's why you're in a bad position with many of them. But also like you just come off like an asshole. And then when you get called out for looking like an asshole, you complain like this is so unfair, but like you did it to yourself.
And on the flip side, like, I think Mariah specifically as well, and I feel like this isn't the first time I've heard someone say this, the amount of people that are like, you know, falling in love with Nani this season, like, you know, Nani's social game is like through the roof, and Tori and Nani get to like the same point in most seasons. Like they're still here now and they made it to last season's to the end of last season. Like they are, you know, it's possible to make these moves and vote these people out while still making them feel some kind of connection with you along the way. It's possible.
Yeah, exactly. Because like Mariah specifically has to look back at like Nani would have or did. I don't remember who put the dagger, like save Amber instead of Mariah. And it's like, you can make these moves and like go through like with these rookies, like they get it. They might not like love it, but, and if like they get that mad, like who cares? You wouldn't have formed a relationship with them in the first place. Like that's the alternative. Mm-hmm. So like either take a chance or just like guarantee that you're going to be viewed at as like cold.
Right. Back into all of this. Did you know that Jordan and Arasi have been friends?
I don't care. I don't.
Like, well, they confide in each other and it's, you know, I don't know what we're getting out of this besides it just really felt like more like, you know, patting on the back of Horacio being a great new challenger, getting the respect from all these vets and, you know, but that wasn't it.
Mm-hmm.
the reason of the scene was because we're going to get to the elimination. The votes are going to come in, and it is going to be Tori in a pivotal voting spot here. Tori does end up voting for Horacio to go in, not Jordan, as she's like very, very emotional casting that vote. Devin, I'm just getting all the headlines out of the way here. Devin is going to pull the safe dagger, you know, with the much more interesting matchup, you know, being the result here, as we do end up getting Jordan versus Horacio.
Okay, so here's my thing. In the votes, everyone gave Mariah a ton of crap about not tying up the vote. Mariah's such an idiot. Why didn't she tie up the vote with Fessel and Nelson? Like, sure. Olivia votes for Devin here in a spot where she's not the last person to vote. She could have voted Jordan. Who knows? Maybe Bananas flips her vote. Maybe Tori does. Like, maybe something happens. But no. Like, if Bananas at all, like, voted for Devin in, like, in some world, or Tori, you know, like, whoever, one person votes for Devin instead of for Horacio, and then all of a sudden it's a tie between Jordan and Horacio. Like, she guaranteed that Horacio was going in. So, like, why is there no, like, wow, what a complete moron Olivia, like, threw away her vote in something that, like, guaranteed that her partner was going in. Granted, they already have the majority, but, like, something could have flipped. Why are you throwing your vote?
So I did not successfully write down all the votes. So if she had voted for Jordan, what would the vote have been?
It would have still been 3-4, but she's not the last person. Like, regardless, she gave up the chance of Horacio never being, like, the ever not being, like, the direct vote by throwing your vote away. Mm-hmm. And so, like, ultimately, I think it's, like, a nothing move. I think it probably was a nothing move with Mariah as well. But, like, everyone is focusing on, like, what an idiot Mariah. And Olivia is just, like, not even mentioned.
Well, I'll also tell you that Mariah said in her interview, which we pretty much had suspected, she was like, well, you know what? Like, I was, like, she obviously said, you know, I knew what I was doing. Like, I knew that I was, you know, putting Fessy in that possible danger. She sure. also mentioned that, you know, again, what we all knew, that Devin or just the guys on that team had been, you know, telling her, if you don't vote this way, then one of us will probably go in. It'll hurt our team even more. And then she was like, and if something happened to Fessy, I really didn't care.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, all that says is that, like, oh, so Mariah's was an informed decision and Olivia's, like, doesn't seem to be. I just don't see the purpose here. I don't know. Was her relationship with Jordan that good she couldn't vote against him?
Give me a second. I gotta close my door.
Like, I just don't see any reason for it. It's confusing. I feel like, again, it ends up being 4-2-1 anyway, so it's not like she makes this different move and the outcome is different, but at least, like, it leaves the door open for who knows. Bananas didn't seem completely against throwing Jordan in. Like, maybe they take their shot, maybe Tori gets emotional instead of guaranteeing that your partner's going down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the matchup we were all waiting for.
Sure.
Were we?
I don't know.
They really make it sound like we were.
I think that a lot of people were, but I don't know. I just feel like all of these matchups are always a letdown.
This matchup wasn't a letdown.
It was fine.
TJ was like, I don't know. He was losing it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. These eliminations are TJ's bread and butter. Like, a little too excited. Like, I don't know. Like, wow, I just think that
good.
This was fine.
Yeah.
It's a good elimination. Like, don't get me wrong. I like Balls In. I think they should continue doing it. But I don't know if it was that the circle was, like, the outer circle was too big, because it seemed completely impossible to push someone out of that circle. So it was like, okay, you score, now I score, now you score. Like, they didn't have their hands on each other all that much even. It was kind of just like, I run past you, now I run through you. Like, okay, mm-hmm. cool. It yeah. wasn't that interesting.
It was just very even. You know, they really went back and forth the whole time. And, you know, you're waiting for Horacio to miss a ball because it just really felt like he was going home. And then, you know, he kept getting him in time after time. Jordan was getting all of his in. So it was like, I really don't know what's going on here. And when Horacio eventually gets that one, that Jordan's ball goes flying, and you're like, oh, so this is interesting. But I guess Horacio is going to miss his next one. And no. Mm-hmm. Jordan tries. He goes for the leg and did not successfully hold him back as Horacio gets up, gets his final ball in, and wins the elimination and sends Jordan home.
Yeah, I think it's almost directly correlated to the circle being so big, because it seemed like just a complete losing strategy to try to push someone out of it. I don't know. I just don't know. I think this can go either way. If you run this like 100 times, I think it goes like 50 times for Jordan, 50 times for Horacio. It's just like who gets unlucky and loses a ball first.
Right.
That's it. Like that's all it was. I think that it was completely impossible to completely outmaneuver them where like you get the ball out of their hands. I think it was just like an unlucky break. And that's not that exciting for me, to be blunt. I don't know. The circle should be smaller. I want like hands on each other. I want to see people grappling and struggling, and like that's a fun elimination. So when I said like this kind of disappointed, it's just like, okay, you ran by each other a couple times. Exciting.
Did you think that Tori was going to come down for a hug?
I'm glad you didn't.
Did
Oh,
you think
God.
though?
No,
I kind of
but
saw
I
it
just,
happening.
it's not that like if you had said would she, like I might have bet on like yes, I don't know. But it did not cross my mind.
Yeah, I really was waiting for it. When Jordan sees he's going, Jordan's going home, and he apologizes up to Tori, and Tori's like hysterically crying, like can't even get like a word out her. But was it in confessional or was it, I mean, one watch that she said that she would always have his back? I think that was in confessional.
I think it was confessional too. Like also in confessional, Jordan's saying like this is easily the hardest season of his career. He apologizes to Tori outside of confessional, but for the most part, like most of it's in confessional.
Right. But I really thought she was going to come down and give a hug. I mean, it wouldn't have felt right for the situation that they were in. Like it wasn't, like it wouldn't have felt authentic. And I mean that in a way of like for both of them as individual people, for the story and what they had been going through, for them to end it with like a hug. Like they weren't in that place. Like certainly they will get in contact the second that they're able to. This is all, of course, if Jordan actually was going home. They'd get in contact the second that they're able to kind of go back through some of that and kind of give themselves some closure. But yeah, I don't know. I maybe not a hug time. So Jordan exits, and if this was a regular, regular deal here, oh, pardon the pun.
He would have been gone.
Jordan would have been gone. Like everybody's up there
Well,
living their best lives besides Tori. Like, this is Jordan leaving the challenge. Like, this is, a big deal.
that's the thing, is because ultimately, like, maybe Anissa goes next week, but like, who knows? Seems like, a pretty low shot based on she has to end up in elimination and then also lose it, and her team has to lose the challenge. So it was kind of like, okay, Jordan lost an elimination, but he's going to be back anyway. And then to find out that there wasn't even going to be a female elimination, it was just like, oh, so why did I watch this?
Right.
Also, Horacio ties the single elimination record with 5 wins.
Tied with Sarah Grayson, of course, from Gauntlet 1, and Wes and Casey with in Fresh Meat. So, some all-timers there.
This feels so underwhelming.
The record?
If he beats the record, I'm gonna be like, ugh. Like with the wins coming from like, okay, the entire Peanut Gallery helped them beat Tamara and Turbo. Their entire Peanut Gallery helped them beat Jay and Michelle. He beat Kenny.
Okay, but
Like,
like, let's look back at some of the eliminations that were done in the Gauntlet one.
honestly, I think Sarah's is by far more impressive than this.
I don't remember. I'm
It's like
totally.
her like hanging from a bar, like
That's the one I
she's
remember.
competing against men like regularly in these challenges. So I think Sarah's is by far more impressive than where like 2 out of 5 of them are won by the audience and one of them is against Kenny.
All right. Fair enough. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So like if 60% like suck, then I'm not interested.
True. Okay. Sorry, Sarah. I take it back. I knew you were listening. So, and then they leave it there with TJ saying, I can show up anytime, anywhere. We're so close to a final, blah, 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 which he's going to prove because he's about to show up at the house. But before we get to that, anything else on Jordan being eliminated or Rossio's
No.
record or I don't know, anything
No.
else?
No.
Okay.
No. I like, again, because Jordan gets eliminated, but I'm like, it doesn't matter, he's coming back. And Horacio beats the record. I'm like, it doesn't matter, he doesn't deserve it. So like I'm annoyed because I could see him getting a 6th win, and I'd be really annoyed if that happens.
Yeah, I can say it too. I will feel indifferent if it happens because I like Orazio. So,
I would be annoyed. Frank, I'd be very annoyed for that to be the like that's the new record holder, and there's probably way more eliminations on this season than there were on either of those
that's
2 as well.
certainly
So it's
true.
just like this is so watered down and such a nothing stat.
TJ is going to show up at the house, pops himself up on the pool table, and Bananas is like, TJ's at our house. And TJ's like, actually, this is my house. And then it goes to a commercial. Like, That is such a weird cliffhanger. I mean, for, you know, commercial cliffhanger, but like, he's like, this is my house. I'm like, okay, TJ, you're final, your house, your everything. But he's going to send everybody off to the elimination arena, get back to the zone. And we're, you know, what do you think this was like the next day or like a day or two later? Like, I don't know.
I think it probably was. I think they might have had like a confessional day. But when TJ first shows up, I'm like, oh, who hit somebody? Like, you know, like,
he
I was like,
just
oh,
said I could show up at any time. And you're like, oh, somebody got punched in the face.
Please, you really think that I was paying such close attention on this first watch? Like, I was like, oh, we don't have another women's elimination day because somebody hit somebody, who outed somebody that they have to be removed from the challenge. Yeah, because that's a thing that happens. But I don't know. I honestly thought that and then it was like, oh, who has like a horrible family like thing back home? So I got nervous here, where I thought that like some woman was going home in like an untraditional way. But no, we are going down to back to the elimination, and I was very surprised.
Yeah, we're going back to the zone, and he's like, oh, look, two very solid teams. Lie. One solid team and one that's gotten decimated. And, you know, where everybody wants to make it to the final and blah, blah, blah. But just so you know, these teams were only made to test the ride or dies, and some of you stayed strong. Some of you turned your backs. But we're really only here because of our ride or die. Oh, wait, three of you don't have a ride or die anymore. So everybody else get back together. And then Casey, Anissa, and Fessel all have to come back down to await their fate, where, again, everybody is thinking, well, or at least Tori is the one vocalizing. And Anissa's got this look on her face, like she sees her death in front of her, that they are going home.
I don't know. It's fine, because it's like, haha, you faked out these three people, but like, none of the audience was faked out. We knew what was happening. So I don't think it lands as well as they might have hoped. I do have one more thing as well. Before we move on to, like, you know, the eventual, like, full reveal, I'm wondering now, because you, like, pointed out how decimated the one team is there any chance that this twist goes on longer if they still have three women on the other team and we are not guaranteed just an elimination between Nani and Amber next week? And then it's like, we can't do a deliberation, we can't do a draw, we can't do like any of the things that are part of the like structure.
That's entirely possible. Yeah.
All right, we have to call an audible because the format is broken.
Yeah.
We can't do it.
I mean, they literally can't do interrogation. They can't do, you know, the draw. Like, there's a lot of things that it's like they're calling the network back home and saying, like, do you guys want to do an hour episode next week if it comes down to that? Or do you want us to just end the twist now? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. So I didn't think about that until just now. But that's interesting. I think they probably did call an audible and just ended the twist early.
Yeah. Like, at this point.
Yeah.
You have to, like, you know, wonder if Kenny even still, like, knows he's there, or if he thinks he's back on his couch, like, back home.
And I'm wondering also if it was not specifically, like, Nani especially, but, like, Nani and Amber, and instead it was, like, Mariah and Nerys. Would they be like, eh, fine, let's guarantee them an elimination?
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, certainly if it was, you know, well, Nani counts as, you know, I was going to say, like, a strong veteran presence that they don't want to lose. And you Nani. Know, they probably... I don't think they're looking to.
I think I'm team audible was called.
Well, either way, everybody that is still with a partner in the game comes back into the arena. Again, live or die by the ride or die. So, you know, some teams are, of course, back together. Amber and Chauncey, Olivia and Horacio, Bananas and Nani, Tori and Devin. So we have four teams up at the top and then three teams down below. Right, I'm not forgetting anybody, I don't think. Three teams down below, and the ride or dies come back in very dramatic fashion. Lots of excitement because they think that they're going home, and then they find out their partners are either coming back or whatever the case is. We get some Avicii playing to really set the scene here. I did not expect to hear Levels playing out of nowhere, but that really like got the moment feeling hyped for all of them, just for, you know, TJ to kind of then drop the bomb that you're not all going back in. Only, you know, as it turns out, two teams will go back in. And tonight, the first elimination is going to be for the first spot to go back in. And then we will see at the beginning of next week's episode, the elimination for the next team to go back in.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about, I was fuming, so I didn't even notice Levels because I was so mad.
God. Did you watch?
I was just like, we have, God knows, but we have like 20 minutes left here, and it's just to be like, you're all back in the game, congratulations, and then another scene back at the house, like, kill me. I was so mad. But then the reveal of, like, one of you will be leaving, I'm like, all right, you know what? Part of me is still furious, because we also very likely could have been in a scenario where, like, there's five teams competing here, and then, like, is still only one team going home? Is two teams going home? If, like, you know, someone from each team had been eliminated and not two members of the same team. So that's also possible and was in my mind. But for two teams to go home at the end of what was, what, 7 weeks? 5 weeks, 7 weeks?
This was 6 weeks that we've just been through, and only one team is gone. And that stat is going to stay at that, because we did not eliminate anybody here. We will next week, but not yet. Unless we lose a second team at the end of next week's episode, but I don't know.
Which is possible. I think that's probably likely even. But again, like, the bar was so low in my mind for this twist that it was like, all right, at least it's not that, but I'm still not thrilled.
The finish line is in sight here. I mean, obviously, we're getting close to the final. We only have so many teams left, and this twist is now over. I have seen that the final or the season's going to be over sometime in the month of February, so we won't see March for this particular season. I actually was sitting there before getting myself so excited. I was like, you know, it's really nice to know when, like, you know, there's nothing filmed and, like, we are just kind of in, like, a nice little waiting period. And then I remembered that Global filmed.
Oh no, why did you remind me? Oh no.
So we'll be back in March with the start of the Challenge Global.
Well, okay, here's the thing though. Where did the Challenge UK air?
Don't ask me questions about the other seasons. I haven't watched or heard anything about
it. I only know that the Challenge AU has aired, question mark. I believe it's over. I think they really pumped those out in a couple weeks. I believe it's Argentina, right? Argentina? I could be getting that wrong. But I believe that started airing also, if not over. So I assume all of the versions have to air before they put the worlds on. So if the UK has not aired, then are we safe for a little bit?
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
but remains to be seen. I just wanted to share the, you know, which I ended up transferring to you, the excitement that I felt for a brief second, and then immediate realization that, nope, there's plenty more to go. Because All-Stars is filming soon, All-Stars 4, and then USA is filming sometime after that. So, you know, the cycle's continuing. It doesn't end. But
I'm excited to find out the cast. The best part of the Challenge season is finding out the cast every year.
Yeah.
By far the best.
I can 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
We are going to get the teams back in. TJ calls Anissa, Casey, and Fessel the lifeline. They are the lifelines that kept their teams alive. Yeah, Anissa, the lifeline of that team. which, to be fair, her partner went home. So
I mean, it's not wrong.
So somebody's going home tonight. The elimination is called Don't Let Me Down. It is three giant ramps. Each team is going to hold up a giant cylinder. Immediately, Fessel is the winner. you know that that's going to be the case. I mean, not to knock on, like, the only other team that would have been competitive, I think, or Jordan and Anissa. I think they could have been just fine. But there was a whole lot of talk about the sand and this and that. Ultimately, whatever. Fessel and Mariah win.
What was your preferred outcome for this first part?
That is the hardest question I've been asked.
Because personally, mine was that the cans ran all six of them over.
Okay, Mario Kart.
let's just knock them all in the sand and send them home. Like, I'm good personally. But yeah, I don't know that there was really a good option here. I think it was just like, all right, whatever happens, happens.
I guess I have to just go by, like, my draft team and say that Casey and Kenny would be my ideal option to go back in, but they also were the least likely to go in with this specific elimination. And then after
there
that,
there was no chance. I was like, care. Kenny, sit down. I know. Like, just stop. It's not your embarrassment.
He has a family, you know.
Yeah, does he? I forgot, honestly.
Yeah.
He's been gone for 5 years.
And more than just Casey. But so, yeah, they have to hold up this giant barrel for a full minute. Whoever does that first will be the team that goes back into the game. It's going to be Fessel and Mariah that win. And we will see at the beginning of next week, Casey versus Kenny. That'd be good. Casey and Kenny versus Jordan and Anissa. One team will go home, one team will go home, one team will stay, meaning that Casey or Anissa, who did nothing in the game to enter the elimination besides their partner going home, will be leaving because of their partner going home.
And I'm fine with it given who it is. Which, like, tough to find a partner where I'm not fine with it. But like, I don't know, whatever. It's a challenge. Sure. Do whatever you got to.
Yeah. I am also fine with it. We got to get the season wound down, some way, somehow. I would have been probably the most happy with Fessel and Mariah going home just because I you know, they're not even happy to see each other. Like, just get out of here.
And honestly, like, I feel like so few of these people have actually had interesting storylines this season, where I feel like usually, like, all right, Fessel is at least like a good heel. Like, I don't even feel like he's been that for a while. So I can understand basically being at least neutral on every one of these people. Did you see the elimination that they're going to start with at the beginning of next?
No. Did you?
Okay. So, yes. Look at me watching a preview. So it looks like it's going to be the one where you are attached to a rope and weaving in and out of the like frame, and then the other team gets hooked up to that rope and has to untangle it.
Okay.
But it looks like they made the frames a lot smaller, which is what I've literally been begging for. So I'm so happy. It seems like it actually might matter how much you are actually moving around this thing and not just going to be a competition of who can tie one knot in the corner.
Okay.
So I'm more interested. I feel like they're like height level-ish, the frames, rather than like climbing up this giant pyramid. Maybe lower even.
Well, I was going to say then congratulations to Casey and Kenny because...
I kind of think so too anyway, but okay,
I haven't seen the frame to, you know, make the call. I would probably agree either way. That probably seems like it's in Casey and Kenny's favor. And I was going to point out that Jordan lost two eliminations in one night, which is like crazy because it's Jordan. But he might lose three eliminations in one night.
Yeah, might be the case.
Wow. Well, wow. Is this Casey's first elimination loss?
Ooh. I guess so. Yeah. No. I mean, I would still not even be like, this is an elimination loss. I'm looking at this almost as like the entirety of it as being a what's the word?
Not a
purge. A purge.
Is that a purge?
Like, yeah, I'm looking at like the entirety of it as like almost being a purge. Whereas like, I feel like in the like lip sync fest that was on like Drag Race last season, they didn't count like each one as like a lip sync that they survived or by any means. So I think likely this is going to be look in my eyes as not like individual eliminations on their record.
I guess, I mean, you can more so consider like the next one an elimination because it's like you legitimately go home if you don't win.
I guess.
But then again, all of the other elimination. I don't know. It's weird when we get into the details.
I'll leave it to the people who put the stats on the site that I read.
There you go.
they get to decide for me.
I feel like Casey might have been on a season with like you have to win to get to the final though. So maybe she has won an elimination.
No, Casey has definitely won an elimination.
Okay, so
I mean she beat Nani in the final.
Oh, okay. So I'm confusing myself. That wasn't even the question I asked. I said, is this her first
loss?
I was
like, what are you talking about?
But this still yes, because she hasn't been eliminated from the challenge yet, so this has to be her first
Correct.
Loss. Okay. Well, and Kenny is now 0-2 to all of our surprise.
Aw, womp womp.
So that is this week's episode of the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see any exciting news comes out in the podcast, and we'll see if we remember it in a week and change or whatever.
Probably not, together. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. they should just interview, like, I don't know, like, who's somebody, like, not on the season that, like, can just...
I don't know. Bring Michelle back again. What does she think? Oh, what's going on?
she's been busy, you know. I don't know. I saw her tweet earlier about Sandra versus Parvati.
Oh, and, let's not have her back, baby.
Engaging in that, but maybe that might be dying down. So maybe she's free.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, I got nothing else.
I got nothing else as well.
That's not true. You were on a podcast this week.
Oh, in terms of this episode, I don't know, and I never would know when we're starting plugs.
No, I know. Plans. I'm just telling. continue. Plug away.
Yes. So I was lucky enough to join on the premiere episode of the Drag Race podcast over on REJP, the wrap-ups. Had a ton of fun joining Liana and Beth over there, subbing in for Amon. So that was a ton of fun. And then I believe I will be subbing in for Sasha on the Mess Magnets in this upcoming week. So people should check that out as well. But otherwise, anything I'm doing will be on Twitter at @Brian_Scally.
Fantastic. My plugs are Scally's plugs. Go check out those podcasts. Nothing much else in the meantime. Of course, on Twitter at Matt Liguori, at @Brian_Scally. Follow both of us and let us know what you're thinking at any given point in time, whether it's the night of, the day after, the next week, year, month. I don't know. Talk about literally any season that you're watching, just let us know. I don't care. Like,
I love hearing people's thoughts. Yeah. Whether I always engage or not all the time because I am weird on Twitter, but I but I like reading people's thoughts. When people live tweet seasons, I am a happy boy.
I mean, it's certainly always interesting to read. I understand what you're saying. It's like I'm not always in the place to like jump into the conversation if it's not something that I'm like actively watching, because I'm like, I haven't seen it in like a couple of months, weeks, years for me to like comment on it. But like, I do enjoy reading what you're writing. So
yeah, like if you're binging a show, just make it a thread. I'll be happy to read that.
Twitter threads aren't really too popular these days.
No, make them a thread and I will read them at my leisure. But just like, you know, live tweet your thoughts, but in one place that if I choose to skip past it, I can.
All right. Well, I do advise everybody to be careful with the threads. They're a dangerous place, but, all right. Other than that, nothing else for this week. So we will be back next week with the next episode of The Challenge Rider Dies as we see potentially two pairs going home. So we'll see, or at the very least one pair that is going in this current elimination. So we'll see how that all plays out. Until next week, take care, everybody.